So I think most of you will know by now that this morning is about a feedback from the trip to Cambodia. For those of you that don't know, actually, whilst the team make their way in this direction, that'd be great. Team, do you want to come up and sit near the front? That'd be nice. On October the 10th, 15 of us from Hope set out to Cambodia together. You'll hear a little bit about it. But the first thing we wanted to say is that Hannah, who works here, who actually put the whole trip on, she did all the planning, all the organising, all the connecting with Mission Direct, who are the organisation we went with, is not here this morning because she is not well. I think she's got a bit of a Cambodia tummy. Poor love. So that's why we've got these guys are just filming this morning so that we can show it to her. Hi, Hannah. We love you. And we wish that she was here with us. So this is in the context of, we really wanted to make what we're talking about this morning in the context of what we're doing as a church. And Chris and Alice have been talking a lot about worshipping communities, about being more outward-looking and missional in our lifestyle and what we do. And so this is an example. We hope that what you will pick up from this morning is the impact of taking a risk and going and doing something that you wouldn't normally do, the impact of that on our lives and on our relationship with each other and on our relationship with God. So we're hoping that that's the kind of thing you'll pick up from what we all say. So first of all, Silas, you're going to come and welcome Stuart and Vicky and Ruth. I'm just prompting him there.
I knew exactly what I was doing. Stuart and Vicky and Ruth, would you like to come forward? So when we went to Cambodia, we didn't, just as a team, we didn't go on our own. We went with some experts who had already gone before, okay? And so this is Stuart and Vicky, and many of you will recognize Ruth. So Ruth for many years was on the staff here. And as always, Ruth is always one step ahead everyone else, hears from the Lord and goes off and does something, and then we catch up. That's my little intro for you. I know you wouldn't like that, Ruth, but it is true. Okay, so Stuart and Vicky, do you want to stand together? Yeah, lovely. So Stuart, can you guys say just a little bit about Cambodia, and when we went, what's the history of that country? Because we needed that before we arrived in it.
Maybe we should just first of all explain where Cambodia is. We gave a talk once in a church and we thought it went down really, really well. And then afterwards someone said to Vicky, whereabouts in Africa is Cambodia? Well, I want to tell you, it's not in Africa, it's in Southeast Asia. If you know where Vietnam is or Thailand, it's in between those countries. It's a fairly small country in terms of size, and it has a population currently of about 15 million.
Phnom Penh, the city, main city in Cambodia, was once considered to be like the Pearl of Asia, wasn't it?
It was.
A real centre. But then some of you may have seen the film The Killing Fields, released in 1984, which talks about the history of the Khmer Rouge and those who really spoilt the country. It was a terrible three-year period.
Yes, 75 to early 79. I wonder if actually everyone could just stand up. I just want to show you the sort of things that happened in Cambodia. 3.1 million people died in this period, 75 to 79, out of a population of 8 million. If you're wearing glasses this morning, maybe you could just sit down, because you would have been eliminated very early on, because you are an intellectual, you can read. Now, if your other half wears glasses, you should sit down as well, because the person who was wearing glasses was an intellectual and would have doctrinated you with a bit of intelligence, hopefully. So you would have to sit down as well. Now, if you were a teacher, if you were a professional person, maybe an accountant, a teacher, an engineer, you would need to sit down as well. And if your other half is one of those, you need to sit down. If your mum and dad are one of those, you should sit down. So you can see not many are left. Now, if you're a Christian and you're still standing, you need to sit down because you would have gone. Right. It's down to you and I now, Vicky, then, I think. So that just shows you. In April, the Khmer Rouge were welcomed into Phnom Penh, which is the capital. But within 3 days, all the population of Phnom Penh were told to get out into the country, into what they call the provinces, because Pol Pot's idea, who was the leader of the group, was to make everyone the same, pure communism. But he wanted, the model he was using was from the 11th century. So he destroyed all the infrastructure. Hospitals went, schools went, bridges went, engineers went. So within about a year, the country was basically on its knees. The people working in the fields were not trained to work in the fields. A lot of them were professional people, hadn't got a clue what to do. No training given, just told to go.
They'd kept their profession a secret. Okay.
Yes, indeed, yeah. So it was very harsh, and as I said, 3.1 million out of 8 million died. You might read somewhere it's a 1.6 million. That was a negotiated figure with the United Nations. The true figure was 3.1 based on censuses taken at the time.
Okay, so with so many displaced people back then, that was at the end of 79 right through to 85. I think 1999 was when it first became safe for tourists to go. But with so many displaced people, the legacy of those years is still very apparent. There's people living in dire poverty. It's a country of extremes. There are people who are conversely extremely rich, and that's from corruption. But if you can go and see a shopping centre and 2 streets back, there's a slum. There's people making a living off of sorting rubbish on the dumps, which we visited. And we work out there with Pastor Sarar, and his idea is to reach the poorest of the poor.
Thank you. So when we arrived, the 15 of us, we were there, but we were part of these guys with a team. There was one more as well, called Steve. And so we kind of arrived and followed there. They'd done all the, in a sense, the research work. Okay, so it wasn't just 15, in a sense. There was 19 of us were there, and they looked after us. Okay, thank you, guys.
So Mission Direct, those guys that were here, they organised all the trips, all the people that we would meet, all the people that are on the ground in the country. John, what would you like to say about them? Okay.
It's a real privilege to go and work with the church there. You see here Pastor Sarar and his family, and they're from the Fellowship of Hope Church. Nice name of the church, I think, there. So basically they're doing some amazing stuff. They've got the church itself, and then the church is running 3 different projects in different areas of the city, at each of which they've built a school and they've built accommodation for people from the slums or other places where they've been displaced or been extremely poor with virtually nowhere to live, and given these people places to live. So the church is really active doing this stuff for people in need, which I was really touched by. And Mission Direct have been going and helping out there for about 6 years, I think now, sending numerous teams. And so we were one of a sort of a series of teams going out, doing our little bit. Hopefully we did a little bit to help, but it's kind of part of a much bigger project. And it's just amazing to see how the Cambodian Christians are really sort of living out their faith and sort of doing these active things to help the poorest people. We also visited another church, which is really growing very fast and doing amazing stuff, again, with people in the slums, with women on the streets, and different people with different needs, and they're kind of just identifying all these needs around them, and Cambodia is a very needy country, but they're seeing these people in need, and they're actually doing stuff about it to help these people in various different ways. So it's such a privilege to go and be a part of that, to help them out with doing that. And another thing, when we actually went to the church on the Sunday, it was just amazing to be in that fellowship with people just praising God. We arrived a little bit late, people were already in there, going for it, praising God, and we kind of came in, and it's a congregation maybe about this size, Singing in Khmer, we didn't understand the words, but we understand what they're saying. They're just praising God. And it's just amazing to be sort of part of that and join with them. So, yeah, just touched by that. Okay.
Thank you, John. It was amazing to walk into the church and feel at home straight away. It was quite a bizarre experience. So you might be wondering what we did each day. So the little team that are going to talk about that, Angela, Stan and Myla and Ray, would you like to come up? I'm just going to run through some of the things that we did and what the day looked like, starting with Angela.
Hi, so the day started at 6:30 in the morning, so it was pretty early, and then we had devotions at 7:00. So a few of us were lucky enough to have the opportunity to lead those. So basically, I found a Bible verse that really spoke to me, and then I was able to share that and a few words with the rest of the team at sort of 7 a.m. And a few of us that did that really felt that we were really sort of enriched spiritually and really grew because we had that opportunity to feed back to what God had really said to us. And then we had breakfast, which was eggs every day, which Annie loved. You're sunny side up every day. I think we also were able to try some local food, and I think people like Pete would have preferred chicken and chips sometimes, but where is he? But yeah, where is he somewhere? Yeah. And I'll just pass on.
And Stan and Myla, you were a little team, weren't you? Tell us about that.
Well, after breakfast, we got on tuk-tuks, we got on these little tuk-tuks, some of you may know, little scooters with a little sort of carriage behind, which we crammed into. We travelled about 30 minutes out of the centre of Phnom Penh, and we went to the village, and here's the village. And Myla's going to tell you a bit about what we did. So, Myla, what did we do first thing in the morning when we got there?
Well, first thing in the morning, we did stretches and praying for the morning.
Okay, so we warmed up well. And what sort of equipment did we have?
The equipment that we used were trowels, shovels, rendering equipment and buckets.
Okay, so there was no assistance, no electric tools or no cement mixers or anything like that. And Myla, what did we do? What were the different jobs that people did on the building site?
The different jobs we did were bricklaying, rendering, moving sand into foundations and mixing cement.
Okay, and what did we spend most of our time doing together?
I spent most of my time doing bricklaying.
And Myla is a brilliant bricklayer. She was an absolute natural. Okay, and Myla, tell us what the working conditions were like. How was it warm?
It was very hot and very sweaty.
Very sweaty. So we were soaked through, not just T-shirts, but even our trousers, shorts or skirts, whatever we were wearing. It was very, very humid. And then at the end of the morning, we had a treat to look forward to. What was that, Myla?
We ate lunch on a big long table that some ladies in the kitchen had made for us.
Yep, so that was it.
Thank you both very much. And what did we do in the afternoon, Ray?
We did so many things in the afternoon. I've written it down because Hannah said 2 minutes each, so I didn't want to ramble. But so the afternoon was a time to learn about the culture and the context of Cambodia today, and also to visit and support some of the local ministries there. So for the first two afternoons, the group visited Tor Salong, which is a school that under the Pol Pot regime was converted into a prison and a place of torture. And another, the second afternoon, visited one of the killing field sites, and it was one of several, which did what it said on the tin. And that's where people were taken from the prison. As you can imagine, both those visits were fairly traumatic, but actually they were a very important part of helping us to understand the culture and the context of the Cambodian people today, because it was all so recent that actually it's very relevant to sort of learning how to and understanding who, the people we had gone to help. So there were over 1,800 NGOs from non-governmental organisations in Phnom Penh, a large majority of which are Christian, which is amazing. And many of them raised their funds by running guest houses like Green Pastures, where we stayed. So it was great to feel that actually, you know, we stayed in, it was wonderful accommodation for us, but also to feel that actually we were helping support them in the work that they were doing. And also quite a few of the local restaurants that the team picked out for us to go to were NGO restaurants, and it was great. It's a great source of lots of enthusiasm, the people who served in those places, and just you could really sense their hearts. We visited various projects in the afternoons. TLC, which you've talked about, have lots of ministries, not just the school we went. And so we went with them to what they call Dump Mountain. And there was a couple of communities there where the people literally make their money by sifting through the rubbish. And that's like, it'll be about the fourth or fifth time the rubbish has been sifted through by the time they get to look at, you know, get to go at it. So while we're there, Hannah and Pete did a fantastic puppet show, which they did on various occasions when we were out ministering, telling the story of Jesus calming the storm, which was great fun. And we also did some of the singing that we've been with the actions we did this morning. It was hot and sweaty trying to sing and breathe and jump. It was quite interesting, but we did it. And on a practical note, we washed the kids' hairs and knit combed the kids' hair. And it was just really humbling to do that for them. And you know, they knew that's what the teams do when they went, and they were all sort of lining up for it because they were desperate to have their hair sort of made non-itchy, really, as those of you who've had that experience with your children. We did that as well when we went to the slums. We went to a slum ministry, amazing place. It was a street that just the houses had migrated out onto the street, and that's just where people lived. And the children were just so desperate for affection, they'd just come running and jump into our arms. So we again the puppet show and some singing with them. But we met some amazing people in these places. So there was one lad called Vitmian who worked with one of the other churches we saw, and he was just incredible, and his faith was just inspirational. His passion for the Lord. For example, he prayed that his youth ministry would reach 1,000 young people, and he's already reached 1,500, so he's just gone, right, fine, I'll pray for 1,000,000, Lord, with a real expectation in his heart that would be the case. And similarly with Pastor Sarah, he's planted, I can't remember, 100 churches so far, 150-something churches so far, and his aim for the church is to plant 500. You know, so we're talking big dreams, and just seeing that was just mind-blowing. We just thought, gosh, we keep God so small in our nice Western culture. And they just don't. They just have this passion. We heard several beyond amazing testimonies during our time in Cambodia. And in turn, members of our group sort of rose up and shared their story with the Cambodians. We met some blind musicians who'd come together as a community because their families are unable to support them. And also because of the country's sort of culture, which is just doesn't perhaps put the same value on handicap and infirmity that we do, sadly. But just seeing their hope in this group of people, the hope they carried despite their circumstances, was indeed truly humbling. And that was one of the occasions, particularly for me, that you could just really see the difference between what we find important, just what Jake was saying this morning about what we worry about compared to what they worry about. Was just very, very stark on that visit for all sorts of reasons. We also led assemblies in the school, which was great fun. Just the children really engaged with us, and that was great. We did fun things too towards the end of the trip in the afternoons, just to get a bit of balance. So we visited the Royal Palace and the National Museum. We enjoyed a boat trip on the river, which was great. But it also took us around the island, and we saw on the banks one of the last remaining sort of villages. Some of the probably older among you remember the Vietnamese boat people, and there was a village and a community of the Vietnamese boat people there, and they really, you know, we saw them, and then their village is right underneath a new hotel. Now tourism is beginning to grow, and they've basically been given, you know, a couple of weeks to go, and just they've got nowhere to go, but they were just told, we're clearing you out, you're an eyesore, and one of the groups subsequently has looked that hotel up. And it's very interesting how that village has been completely photoshopped out of any of the brochures. It's very humbling again. We met a fantastic Christian lady who had married a Cambodian, and she felt very passionate that actually if that's what she'd done, she needed to understand the culture. So she'd really immersed herself in the Buddhist culture just to know and understand the people. And it was really great to hear from her just about Buddhism and actually how that affected the Cambodian people, and the expression of Buddhism obviously is different in different places, so it was good to just have a window into that. We spent time sharing with all sorts of people. Went to a place called Precious Women, one of the ministries, and that's a place where they rescued street workers. And we heard some of their stories and whatever, and then we were treated to a lovely neck massage, most of us, or nail polish or something by them, which was great. And then at the end of each day, we had a time called Reflections, which was an opportunity to just share together some of the joys, some of the difficult emotions, some of the feelings that had arisen from whatever we'd done that day. And that was just a really important time to just sort of be able to offload. And because as you can imagine, some of the things were great, we were all really encouraged, but some things were quite hard to witness and to digest. So it was just great to come together as a team at the end of the day, be able to share, offload, and it was a good way of being able to sort of put it in context, deal with it ourselves, and then be able to sort of let it go and be ready for the next day. So Reflections were a very important part of being a team, and it was that was one of the great things about the trip, was just the team coming together and just sharing everything and all our experiences together.
Thank you, Ray. As you can hear, we did a lot of stuff, so it's a very full time. Thanks, guys. You may sit down. So, one of the things that's important to ask the question is, what sort of impact has this had on my life? So there are a few people that are going to come and share a little bit about that. Pete Bremtom, Aaron and Vicky. Would you like to come up? We called him Bremtom because whilst we were there, Brenton had his birthday, and we had this wonderful cake was made for him, which I presume Ruth organised, because that's kind of what Ruth does so wonderfully. And they had misspelt his name as Bremtom instead of the N. So he's been Bremtom ever since. First of all, Pete, what impact did going to Cambodia have on you? What was your sort of realization?
I really had like what they call light bulb moment one day. We were coming back off the site, I think it was, and yeah, it was. And I was in the tuk-tuk, and I just thought, you know, I'd been a Christian like 2 years, and I read the book, and I absorb the book. But it's only now I know what it's like to actually be a disciple and go out and do God's work with people that are a lot, just amazing. And we had a Mission Direct evening about a week ago, and some guys were up saying about their experiences. And there was one country where someone said, they asked who these people were with the blue tops on. What are they doing? Why do they bother with the other people, like the lower caste? And they said they're Mission Direct. They walk with the dirty people. And do you know what? That makes me feel so humble and so proud to want to go and walk with the dirty people and give them the word and help them. But and it struck me as well, when we came back off the plane and we got to Qatar and Doha, and we came through the airport and you're back in the world, you know, it just hits you. The duty-free stuff. And I saw this watch, brand new G-Shock watch, you know, and I'm looking at mine and the OD, the repellent, Zet, the face off my watch. But I can just see it, but... And I thought, wow, yeah, you can't get them in our country. It's worth like £200, you know? And then I just, light bulb again went, do you know what? What are you doing? That's £200 towards bricks to go and build more houses. And Ray said to me, it's kind of need and want, you know? It's what we want and what we need. Like, yeah, I've got a watch. It's the want in me that wants that. That was a big wake-up call as well, and it just... And another thing as well, it's... I know the team was there, but you were all there. It was a whole... And your prayers were just so amazing, you know? So, yeah, it was... You were all there, really, and here's to the next one, two, three, four, roll on. Can't wait. God bless you all. Thank you. Bremtom.
Brenton, thanks, Pete, so much. Brenton, your reflections, what did going on to Cambodia do for you?
Cambodia did a lot for me. In the fact, it gave me the opportunity to just step out in faith, you know, and bit like I'm doing now, you know, and didn't write anything down, you know, just what comes out through the Lord, you know, like, but yeah, just overcoming a lot of my fears, you know, doing things out there, you know, I'd never thought I'd do, you know.
What did you do?
You know, I have a big spider fear, and yeah, so I actually had a spider on me, and I ate one. I ate it as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Was it cooked in between holding it and eating it?
No, it was a live first, and it ran up my arm. It ran up my arm, and Vicky came and saved me. You saved me, didn't you? But yeah, so you know, and you know, just things like playing football, you know, with the Khmer people, like, you know, I was saying to Steve on the way back, you know, like, normally I'd be afraid to do things like that because I'm not very good, you know, and like, you know, sometimes I know I've spent a lot of time in prison, and people would come, you know, come on, you play football, you know, and I'd be like, no, because I don't want them to pass the ball and me mess it up, you know, I'm like afraid, like, you know. But just jumping in and doing things like that, you know, and having fun and not worrying about things like that, you know. And just, yeah, like, just being around, just being with people, you know, and not, just mixing in with people and, you know, communicating, you know. So, you know, I overcome a lot in that short space. And, you know, we heard a few testimonies out there from Pastor Sarah, Mr. Song, and a girl called Nikki, and it kind of was really powerful for me, and so yeah, it was just like the Lord was speaking to me through some of them, and like, and it had an effect on me, like it made me feel something inside, like, wow, you know, God is amazing, you know, and it made me think, you know, like, when I tell people what God has done in my life, you know, it gives me that I could make people feel like they've made me feel, you know. Mm-hmm. So it kind of like was quite an impact. And it's funny because when we got back to Hope, there was like, when I was in prison, I used to get this leaflet called The Word, and I used to read it, and like, it's like God was speaking to me. But so when I got back, there was one on the side out there, just one. And I picked it up, and I didn't read it until I got home. And the first page opened, it said, like, discipleship on there. And basically, it just spoke to me in there, and it just said about me having the ability to be in amongst people that wouldn't normally be able to see God's work, you know, if that makes sense. Like the normal, typical, you know, like, you know, people that study the Bible, you know, like, I can't recite Bible passages and things, you know, but, you know, the Lord's doing powerful things in me, you know, and, you know, so, yeah, so it had a large effect on me in that sense. But, yeah.
Thank you, Brenton.
I have to read it.
So Aaron, thanks Brenton. Aaron, how about you?
Well, hold it
there. Teamwork.
This trip was the first time I've ever been abroad. When Anna first asked me, I would go, I said, yeah, not knowing how I would get the funding. I just had to trust in God that if it was His will, He would provide, and He did. As a team, we were all different ages and from different backgrounds, but God put the right people together. Just before the trip, I was given some prophetic words saying not to worry about anything and that we would be like a family. That's what we became. Our mission was to build houses. We did this in the morning, bricklaying, rendering the walls. We had a lot of fun doing this, and we just got on with it. In the afternoons, we go on various trips. Some were very emotional, but all were good for different reasons. The one that sticks out for me was the inner city slum, which could easily have gone straight past and not known it was there. It was one street running straight through some big houses. We went there with a pastor and his team who go into the slums every week and read Bible stories to the children who were keen to learn more. While we were there, we washed the children's hair, sang songs, put on a puppet show, and also gave out aid. God is at work there. On the Sunday, we all went to Pastor Sarah's church, where I told my testimony and spoke prophetic words to them in the words of Jesus. I told them, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. This is true for you, true for me, and true for them. I feel very humbled with the things I've seen, but also very blessed that God chose a team from our church to be part of their journey. And I say to everyone here today, dream big, like really big, and if it's God's will, he will provide." That's it.
Thanks, Aaron. Thank you, Aaron. Great stuff. Vicky, a reflection from you.
A reflection. I mean, I think what I took home is what you can do in a team is amazing. So Helen Lee asked me before we went how I'd prepared for Cambodia, and I said I haven't because I'm in denial. I don't do abroad. But then as a team, you go into places that you just couldn't and wouldn't on your own, and particularly the slum. So again, I think the power of sort of putting yourself under authority of someone else. So there's no way we could have gone into the slum on our own as individuals or even as a team, because it would have just been too dangerous. But you know, we went under the authority of Vietnam with, and you can work with, you know, people that you've never met before, completely different culture, because you buy into what they're doing and they allow you to work with them and partner with them. And so we went into the slum. And then we're washing hair, children's hair, you know, so we had people, you know, people shampooing, people rinsing, people combing, then the puppet show, singing, you know, Peter and Hannah were doing the puppet show and I was holding up just the sheet so that they could do the puppets over it. And I just thought, this is amazing. You've got 15 people from completely different, you know, we didn't really know each other, and yet you're working together to do this thing. It worked. It was amazing, and I was in awe, really.
Thank you, Vicky. Thanks, guys. Thank you very much, guys. That's great. And again, if you want to hear more about how people have responded and what we did, please do ask, because we don't want to kind of bore you all with too much stuff. But if you're interested, please ask, because we've all been impacted so much by our time there. And as one of the team said, that we felt we were there with all of you. That was one thing that was really quite profound. We felt supported. We felt prayed for. We felt that you know, you were all there with us. And we just wanted to thank you for your support in prayer, financially, driving us to the airport and picking us up, all the things that as a church that we did together. And we knew we were representing all of us. We didn't feel like we were just out there on our own doing our own thing. We felt very much that we were hope out there. So thank you so much. And we wanted to say, you know, our victory is your victory. And I think that what Brenton was saying about testimony, the power of hearing somebody's story can really impact you. And so the things that each of us had an impact on, you can have that. We'll just give it to you now. It's yours if you want it. And I think that all of us overcame something. We all had to sort of push through fears and things that we hadn't done before. But we could do it because we were a team together, as Vicky said. So I just want to thank you all for the most incredible experience. We hope there will be many more. I know that some of the guys particularly are planning the next trip that they want to be on. I think they'll probably be Mission Direct reps before long. It was actually awesome to go with Mission Direct. They went ahead. They've got the ongoing links with all the organizations. So we felt that the part that we could play was just adding to what was already established and what will carry on after now. It's carrying on now, like John was saying. And that's a really important thing. It wasn't like a one-hit wonder. I don't know if any of you have done missions before, but I've experienced before, you sort of move into a place, you do a gospel presentation and some rather strange dramas. This, of course, was back in the 80s. and then you leave again and you don't ever know what's happening. But the wonderful thing with this is that there is an ongoing work there, and we were just supporting them and being part of it. And we were all transformed and changed by it in some way. And so we just thank you all so much. I think that's it for us.
That's fabulous. There's this great verse in Ephesians 5 which says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil." And the word opportunity, topos, is a Greek word from which we get topography. And so what he's saying, if you think of the unseen realm, we live in the seen and the unseen realm, is there's legitimate topos, legitimate authority we can take every day, every moment, every hour. I'll just read that again. "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, every topos, every legal bit of territory that God has put in front of us to advance his kingdom, because the days are evil. They're dark, they're temporal, they're fleeting, and there's an eternal day which we're connecting with from today." And what they did in Cambodia was they did that. They made the most of every, we have been just given the whole world to build houses, to help people, to heal people. We've been given so much jurisdiction, so much topos, so much legitimate authority to take territory. And that's what they did then. So I'm going to pray that we receive the territory they've taken for us all, and we also hear what it is for us moving forward. We want the worshipping communities just to be doing this everywhere, here, local, global, just being enriched, being transformed by taking this territory in partnership with the brothers and sisters that God has caused us to be so much richer for being in partnership with. And Jesus, thank you that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, and you have given us authority over the nations. You've given us this incredible, joyful design where if we're very careful and we live wisely, we can be taking territory and advancing your kingdom wherever we go and whatever we do. Thank you for this incredible trip. Thank you for those incredible people who have gone through such fiery trial and have come forth like gold and are just seeing fruit burst out all over the place. We love that. We honor that. And we receive the fullness of what they've walked into. And we bless this body, this community, to break out, to see, to have eyes to see all these landscapes that you have for us to build kingdom, where at the moment there is no peace to bring peace, where there's no purity to bring purity, where there's no goodness to bring goodness, where there's no righteousness to bring righteousness. Absolutely convinced that the zeal of the Lord will do this. The increase of his governance and peace, there will be no end. That happened at Incarnation 2,000 years ago, and it is increasing all over the world. The irresistible momentum of the kingdom of God. So we bless you, Jesus, and we bless us to walk in the fullness of your design and to come to the end of our lives standing strong and tall, saying, we fought the good fight, we ran the race, and we're coming here now to collect the prize of a life well lived. I bless every single baby, child, adult, everyone here in their 70s or 80s to give a good account. In the name of Jesus, amen. So now we've come to the end, and the children could collect their children. We are children of God. Collecting our children. If you don't have children, don't collect any children. See you next week.